is Joel's 37. So this is a generational thing, and my producers are in their 20s. And so this is the thing about Beta and VHS. I'm assuming most of you know about that, but I'll talk to Rob McKnight about it after 10 o'clock. We do our TV clinic. Now, we've just talked about financial health, so we're about to do what we like to do after that and talk about your physical health. And this is one of those uncomfortable conversations. I don't make any apology because this is about bowel cancer. And this is one of the great professionals from the Sydney Adventist Hospital, the SAN in Sydney. Now, they harness the latest scientific advancements in health while giving you the attention, respect and care you deserve. They call it whole person healthcare. But it's one of those conversations where essentially you've got to talk about bleeding, and it's the kind of bleeding that you don't talk about publicly. It's probably a lot of people even feel embarrassed talking to their doctors about it. And yet we're talking about bowel cancer, 15,000 Australians affected every year. And unlike a lot of these conditions, this is one where if you get it early, it can be treated. If you leave it too late, it can be fatal. So, and we're talking about blood in your stool or rectal bleeding. Now, I make no apology. It's a conversation. It sounds weird to be talking about it. And it's why a lot of people think, I'm not going to go and talk to my doctor about this. And it can have those long-term awful consequences. I discussed all of this early today with Dr. Henry Chung. He's a colorectal surgeon at the SAN. Here's that conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Now, rectal bleeding, the sort of thing we don't talk about, but we have to, don't we? Because you're trying to give people a bit of a nudge to make sure that they're taking action.
That's right. So rectal bleeding is a very common symptom, and it's probably one of the most common things that I see in my practice. And I see patients with rectal bleeding across all ages. And people can have bleeding that ranges from just some blood on the toilet paper to splattering and dripping of blood in a toilet bowl. And it can cause a lot of alarm and distress when patients have bleeding, and that usually prompts them to see medical advice.
Sure. It doesn't necessarily mean bowel cancer, though, does it, initially?
So whilst it's a very common symptom, in medicine we talk about common things occur commonly.
Yes.
So usually the most common causes of rectal bleeding are still benign things such as hemorrhoids and fissures. And so hemorrhoids are basically swollen blood vessels in the anus that are often caused by patients with constipation, straining during bowel movement, and sitting on the toilet for too long. These hemorrhoids can be internal and external, but usually are the internal ones that you can't see or feel that bleed. On the other hand, you can get problems such as anal fissures, which are small tears in the lining of the anus. And they usually happen from either passing large or hard stool.
Yes.
But certainly you can get more serious causes. And short of having cancer, you can also have benign serious causes such as infection of the bowel and even inflammatory bowel disease like Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. These are autoimmune conditions that causes a chronic inflammation of the digestive tract. Other things include, for example, diverticular disease, where people develop these small pouches that form in the wall of the bowel, and also things like colonic polyps. So there are lots of causes that can cause bleeding, but certainly the most concerning for most people are bowel cancer.
Yeah. So any bleeding, you should then go and get medical advice, go and see your doctor, do a test. Is that your advice?
Yeah. I mean, there are, you know, ways that we can kind of differentiate, but I think the only way to reliably distinguish them between a more common or sinister cause is to actually have a proper medical evaluation. So if I can sort of maybe touch on some of the differences, bleeding for hemorrhoids, for example, is typically bright red, and might be noticed on a toilet paper or dripping in the bowl. And when they're very big, then patients may even feel a lump coming out of the anus. Contrary to common belief, bleeding from hemorrhoids is typically not painful. And if you have painful bleeding, then the usual cause is an anal fissure. And it can be described as, you know, even like passing glass out of the anus. And people can have pain that can last for hours afterwards. In contrast, bowel cancer bleeding, although it can be bright red, but it can also be more a darker maroon color. And that's indicated that the blood has been in the bowel for a longer period of time. And it may be mixed with the stool rather than just be on the surface of the stool. And typically what we also look for are bleeding that is associated with other symptoms, such as a change in the bowel habits, constipation, having more frequent bowel movements, not feeling completely empty after bowel movement, and the other sort of more general symptoms like weight loss and fatigue.
Yeah, but I'm guessing anything like this, there's a whole range of possibilities. It's an uncomfortable conversation to be having on the radio, but it's really important to the point where people might think, I just hope this will go away. They should be going and talking to someone about it, shouldn't they?
They should definitely talk to, their local general practitioner first. And that's because bowel cancer is something that affects both male and females. And in fact, it's the most common cancer that affects both male and females in Australia. Mm. And when it's diagnosed early as a neuroinfection, it is curable. But sometimes when patients have these problems for the first time, that's when they should really, go and see someone about it, because if they haven't been diagnosed with hemorrhoids before, then it's really difficult to say, it's just hemorrhoids. Especially nowadays, also there's definitely increase in incidence of bowel cancer amongst younger Australians.
Yeah, that's why I think it's important, because I think to myself, even just going and talking to a GP, for a lot of people, they think, they only want to have a conversation in the privacy of the GP's office. It could save their life if it turns out to be bowel cancer, because as you've established, the sooner you get to it, the better.
That's right. And I think I wanted to sort of emphasize on the younger patients, because they're the ones that often are busy. They've got a professional lifestyle. They don't have time to go and see their doctor. And they often just, look on the internet and find that the bleeding most commonly is probably just hemorrhoids, and they put it down to that. But there has been a double, in the rate of bowel cancer amongst young people under the age of 50, from about 5% 10 years ago to now 10%. And so because young people tend to dismiss their symptoms, therefore they tend to also present later if they do actually have a bowel cancer. So they get diagnosed later, which means that, they may need more treatment. Intensive treatments. Yeah. And sometimes they may also translate into they do more poorly even with treatment, because they were diagnosed at a later stage.
Yeah, and reducing the risk factors, I'm assuming it's diet. Would that be the principal thing we're talking here?
So risk factors, there are certain things that you can't change. For example, if you have a family history of bowel cancer, or if you have a personal history of conditions like inflammatory bowel disease. So diet is one of those things that you can change. And we know that sometimes patients who eat a lot of processed meat or high-end red meat, they do have an increased risk for having bowel cancer in their lifetime. There are other sort of lifestyle, what we call modifiable risk factors, and that includes being overweight, having heavy alcohol use, smoking, and not very physically active. So these are all potentially risk factors for bowel cancer as well, in addition to diet.
Yeah. And the other one I have to ask you, because we've talked about the bleeding, but we do those, once you get to a certain age, you're sent these bowel cancer test kits that you can do. You can actually have some form of bleeding that doesn't become obvious, but it comes up in the test. Is that right?
That's right. So very early bowel cancers, they don't typically present with symptoms, and that includes bright bleeding.
Yeah.
So therefore, that's the purpose of screening kits. And the government has actually reduced the age when people can start doing a screening from 50 to 45 because of a trend towards younger people now getting diagnosed with bowel cancer. So the point of the test is to detect blood that you can't see, because when you have a polyp or even cancer, and when they're very early, then the bleeding is often microscopic. And so therefore, it's often too late if you already see bright red blood. And the purpose of these stool tests is to look for microscopic blood that are not visibly detectable. But these tests are very, very sensitive, so they can pick all blood that are present in the stool. So not just from cancer, it does pick up benign things such as hemorrhoids and fissures as well.
Sure.
But at least it's a non-invasive way for people to at least take that first proactive step to making sure that, if there's something wrong in the bowel, then it's recognized early.
Okay, just a final one then. As someone who works in the field as a colorectal surgeon, how often are you dealing with people who you think, you know, if they'd actually caught it much earlier through some sort of testing, they'd be in much better shape, because I guess that's the message we're trying to get out tonight, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's definitely, despite having the screening program, we definitely do still see a lot of patients who come in with, you know, bowels that are almost blocked, for example, and then therefore end up having emergency operations. They come with months of weight loss, and they actually have a cancer that has metastasized to other parts of the body.
Yeah.
And some of the common theme among these people is that they've neglected doing the government stool testing because they feel that they otherwise have been healthy all their lives or they have a very healthy lifestyle. And then missed the opportunity to potentially detect something early.
Yeah, so in the ad where they're trying to get you to do it, and a lot of us just put it to one side, this is the consequence of not doing it. You've just explained that, I think, very, very clearly. I appreciate your time tonight. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Dr. Henry Chung there. Look, I've got a note here saying, why do the test kits stop at 74 when people are living longer? From Greg. Is that right? Because it's really important that these things are tested. And he's saying that young people in particular, they're now going down into the 40s. But I say, look, and this is, he's from the Sydney Adventist Hospital. And it's important because we talk to their people on a regular basis. But I just think it's so important to stress that you do need to have that. We've talked about it on air. So you should be able to talk to your doctor, and it might be someone close to you. Get them to talk to someone about it, and they won't be sorry. 8 to 10 now. Sydney's